Father, be with us this morning as we dive into your word. Show us what you'd have us to see. And again, as we spend time together in your word, that you're the one that gets the glory and praise. I thank you for everyone here this morning, these brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're in the book of Ruth, and I like root beer floats a lot, and to me, Ruth, the book of Ruth is like a root beer float. Is once I get into it, I really don't want it to end. I just want there to just be more. If it could just be a constant flow, I do really enjoy it. And usually when in a message, it's usually ends with either some type of challenge or a push for a verdict. And this morning, I instead of ending with it, I kind of want to start with something that happens in that. Is when we look at the book of Ruth, and the book of Ruth it's a love story. It's a story of redemption. And Ruth, think about the storyline here. She's a woman. She's from Moab. And at one time, she was far away from God. And she was a woman that really was without hope in this world. And now she's been brought near. And we also, at one time, were actually strangers from God. You know, we were his enemies. But we've been brought near to God, and we've been brought near to him, and we were brought near by the blood of Christ. And we're in the family of God, praise God. And one of these days that we're going to be with him in his home in glory, and that is really a glorious prospect, isn't it? It just ought to get us kind of excited. And this morning, as we approach the conclusion of our story, we're going to see the work here of Boaz. Boaz, again, he's our type of Christ. And Ruth here has claimed him as her kinsman redeemer in chapter 3, verse 18. Now, how many of us guys like to go to Harbor Freight? I can't be the only guy, you know. And I like Harbor Freight. They give you discounts, and if you're kind of on their mailing list, they'll send you coupons. Now it's all done online. You got to look at your emails, and you get these coupons, and so you take your coupons in, and you get a big discount on items that you purchase there. But also, some of those coupons you can redeem them for free items at Harbor Freight, but you have to have the coupon to claim that gift, to claim that item, or to get that discount. Well, Boaz, we find Boaz here, since she's claimed him as her redeemer, that he's free to move and he's free to act on Ruth's behalf because she's claimed him as her kinsman redeemer. Christ, like Boaz, isn't free to move in your behalf until you claim him as your kinsman redeemer. That Christ died on the cross for our sins, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15. Isaiah, we see here that it describes Christ to us, that he bore our grief. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, it says in Isaiah 53. And in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. Not as works, it's so that no one can boast. God offers this gift, but you have to reach out and take it. And you take that gift by faith. You know, we sing a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. By faith, you receive Christ. And Boaz, he's ready to act as the kinsman redeemer. Boaz, as we see here, He's proactive in what he's doing. Ruth's role is really just to wait and let him make all the arrangements. He's the one that's going to step out in that open, and then what he's going to do is claim her. He's the one who is going to jeopardize everything that he has and everything that he is. Well, why is he going to do that? Well, it's because he wants her. He loves her. And that's the message of this book, is this redemption. It's a romance because God loves us. He redeemed us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we pick up our story this morning in the book of Ruth. And remember, here in where we're at in Ruth, it's kind of a surprising scene, this threshing floor, that we find that Ruth proposes marriage to the much older Boaz. And Boaz is thrilled by that. In fact, we're thrilled by that. But there's a snag. You know, we find out from last week, there's a closer relative that has the right of refusal. And so this excitement that happens right here is kind of dampened by this other man who has the right to marry Ruth. So let's see what happens here as Boaz, he's heading into town. It's early in the morning following this proposal that Ruth did. I'm Ruth chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And please, I encourage you to follow along with me. "Is now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, 'Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you.'" You know, some people, you know, I don't say most people, they'll go to great lengths to really get the blessing or the approval of their parents. They want the blessings of their parents, even if it's for their wrong actions. I had an older sister, she eloped. And she wanted the approval of my parents. But by her wrong, even her wrong actions, and even there was a hasty claim by my parents of how she should go about this elopement that didn't really end well. And I'll say this for any parent that's had a child to have eloped: I don't know any parent that likes it when their kids elope. Do you? No, because our son eloped, and we never liked that either. You know, but they want the approval of their parents, and they'll go to extremes, even if it's for wrong actions that takes place. Well, the question is how far would you go to get God's approval on your pursuits? What lengths would you go to in order to secure God's blessings? Do you want God to bless your pursuits? How can we be sure of God's blessings in what we pursue? Well, let's look at Boaz here and learn from him. And we learn here that he pursues his desires. Boaz is pursuing his desires, and he does it with integrity. You know, Webster defines integrity as uncompromising adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral integrity, honesty or character, honesty. Boaz, he's pursuing his desires, and he does it with integrity. Boaz, he approaches this kinsman redeemer, this other man in our story. Now, he's a close relative, so I think he knows who this guy is. At least he knows what he looks like. And he asks him, and the man listens to Boaz. Now, we don't know the man's name. You know, it's kind of like Dragnet. You know, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. We can call him John Doe, but for the sake of our story, we'll just call him Butch. Okay? And Butch has this right. He has a right. He actually has even an obligation here to redeem the land sold or about to be sold of the family. You know, he's, in our day and age, we'd say, you know, Butch has got dibs. He's got dibs here. And so Boaz, he doesn't go about sidestepping the process. You know, he's being straightforward, and he goes through the proper channels to get something done here. And we see here that what he does is he goes to the city gate. You know, the city gate would be equal to our city hall. You know, our city hall is in the center of town. The city gates is when you enter into the town. And the city gate, it would be a public place. It would be an open meeting place. It would be the place where official proceedings would take place. It also served the place of a judicial process. Boaz, he calls the elders. And he calls the elders because these would be the guys that have authority. This is going to be something that's going to happen, and it's going to be going on the record. Now, I kind of imagine, at least in my mind's eye, that while what Ruth and Naomi may be going on in their mind at this time of all this process, you know, they're just waiting for the outcome of these proceedings. And we note here that there's not a whole lot of red tape. There's not a lot of bureaucracy going on at this time. You know, civil court was done quick, and it was done easy. It's so completely different in how we deal with things in court today. And so Boaz, he presents his situation here to Butch, our kinsman redeemer. And it's important keeping the land of this family in the family. You know, Debbie and I grew up in a farming rural community, and the farms were kept in the family. When the kids inherited the land, most of the family, the parents would move to another part, would be in the old house, and the kids would build a new house on the same farm. It's still that way today. Keeping the farm in the family was a big deal. Well, back then, it was a very big deal. And so Boaz, he brings this matter to our kinsman redeemer, and it's this kinsman redeemer's responsibility to redeem the land. Now, Boaz would have let him redeem the land if he wanted to. Because you remember back in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, if you want to redeem it, let him redeem it. If he's not willing to redeem it, he goes, as the Lord lives, I will. In fact, I kind of paraphrase it and says, if as the Lord lives, I gladly will. And we need to remember here the requirements of that kinsman redeemer. He had to be a relative of that person. He had to be able to perform, which meant he had to have the means to do. And the third thing is, he had to have a willingness. He had to want to. You know, in our culture today, people would probably say what Boaz is doing is stupid. But what Boaz is doing is he's showing integrity. And integrity, it's doing the right thing, and it's doing the right thing in the right way, even when nobody's looking. And we know from chapter 3, verse 10, that Boaz wanted to marry Ruth. But he's willing to risk their relationship in order to do the right thing. That's integrity. He's not cutting any corners. He's showing integrity by doing the right thing, and he's doing the right thing in the right way. Now, most of us would probably read this, and we'd yell out, what are you doing? You know, you're going to lose the girl. You know, he's risking the whole relationship over some silly-sounding rule. God wants us to pursue our desires, and he wants us to do that with integrity. You know, in our culture, we tend to let the end justify the means. You know, if something seems right, it doesn't matter how much, if you have to cut a few corners here and there to get that done, that's the way we think. You know, hey, these two people, they love each other. They're obviously right for one another. You know, it would be a shame if this relationship didn't work out. So who cares about sidestepping a few silly rules, right? But that's not integrity. And that's not how God wants us to pursue our desires and goals. He wants us to show integrity because integrity shows that we trust God. And Boaz is willing to put the whole matter in God's hands. More specifically, he's willing to trust God's laws, God's way of doing things, because God's way of doing things is the best way of doing things, even when it seems risky to us at the time. And when we cut corners and we take matters into our own hands, it shows that we do not trust God. And integrity keeps us from hypocrisy. You know, one of the definitions of integrity is wholeness, is being sound, it's being unimpaired, it's undivided. I have a friend of mine, haven't seen the guy in probably 20 years. It's back when Hanford was still operating there and over in the Tri-City area, and he was a pipe fitter, a welder, and he would describe kind of the welding that he does, a union guy. Well, they're welding, and they're working with some pretty nasty stuff at Hanford at the time. But so after they would weld a weld there at Hanford, another crew would come in and they would x-ray that weld looking for imperfections, any kind of cracks, any kind of blemish in its integrity. And, you know, that's what you want. You know, when you act with integrity, you demonstrate that your convictions, your values are more than just words. And when you act in a manner opposite of your stated values, well, then you're a hypocrite. You know, integrity in our pursuits, what it does is it brings God's blessings. If you really want God to bless your pursuits, to be pleased with what you're doing, well, then you make sure that you pursue your desires with integrity. So, question, where are you being tempted to cut corners to justify the ends by the means? Or the means by the end, I should say. Which of your pursuits need really a big dose of integrity? You know? So Boaz, we have here, he's on his way to God's blessings because he's pursuing his relationship with Ruth, and he's doing it with integrity. Well, so let's see how that turns out. I was in verse 4 there. What's the very end of verse 4? And Butch said, I will redeem it. Well, what? I thought that integrity was the path to God's blessing, but it doesn't sound like a blessing to me. You know, here is the test of integrity. You know, it's easy for us to have integrity when everything's going our way, isn't it? And you know what? If this story were to end right there, it still would have been a success because Ruth would have been taken care of. But it doesn't. You know, let's see how it responds here. When I played some high school football, and I was a middle linebacker, and your goal of a middle linebacker was to kill the quarterback. You know, anybody that carried the ball, that was fair game, okay? Well, there was a play, and it was a trap play, only they didn't share that trap play with me. And anyway, after you got done sacking the quarterback a few times, they decided to implement this trap play. And I remember going through the offensive line, and I found myself behind the offensive line. Basically just standing there, okay? Here we are, verse 5. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, You must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. So here we got Boaz. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Butch, there's just one other thing. You know, there's just a little hurdle that you're going to have to get over. There's this woman named Ruth. She's a Moabitess, and she's actually connected to that property. She'll be the one that's going to inherit the land. So the day you redeem the property, you got to redeem this woman. And that Levirate law obligated him to marry his relative's childless widow, to have sons to keep that family name. You know, the trap play. I find myself standing behind the offensive line and nothing's happening. Next thing you know, boom, it's a trip to the ER. Well, let's see how Butch responds to this. The closest relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of an attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. So here the nearer kinsman, what he does is he jumps ship, which I'd say was Boaz's intentions all along. He changes his mind. I can't redeem it. He's fearing for his own estate at this point. You know, the cost of that land plus the cost of Ruth is just more than I'm willing to pay. He's more concerned about his financial state than he is with being kind. The land would become Ruth's son. Their first son would be considered her dead husband's son, an heir. Do you follow along there on that reasoning? And it's interesting here that the one who's so concerned with preserving his name is never named in Scripture. We got to give him one. And here, the writer, which was believed to be Samuel, who is one that's the author of this book, explains the shoe passing custom. It's signifying the transfer, not of the land itself, but really the right to redeem it. And I'm going to look back here, just if you grab just a little bit of your Bible, an eighth of an inch, and turn left, you'll probably be in Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10, we have this. I thought it'd be good to just see what that says. It says, when brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of his dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. But if the man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of his city shall summon him and speak to him. And if he persists and says, I do not desire to take her, then Then his brother's wife shall come to him in the sight of the elders, and this is where it gets interesting, and pull his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. And she shall declare, thus it is done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. In Israel his name shall be called the house of him whose sandal is removed. When he hands over his shoe, he's now off the hook. And the kinsman redeemer, we'll call him Barefoot Butch now, he almost got himself trapped into an obligation that he was unwilling to fill. and his unwillingness and his selfishness, it's an example of how not to face our responsibilities. I'll do it, it changed to, no, you do it. And his response, it shows a lack of commitment. Now notice Boaz's response. Verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders, and I'm back in Ruth, verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses to that day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. Boaz's response, it's a complete opposite of the kinsman redeemer. He takes that obligation willingly. He says, you're my witnesses today. I'm buying the land and I'm marrying the girl. And I get the impression here that the land in this arrangement was merely the bonus. It's a solemn moment. The witnesses here, they make it public. The witnesses make it legal. You know, there wasn't any written record of this at the time. And in contrast to the kinsman, Boaz, he knew exactly what he was getting himself into, and he was more than willing to do it. And this is the model of how to face our responsibilities. You know, commitment in our pursuits brings God's blessings. You know, the heart of the passage is this unknown redeemer, that we've been calling him Butch, was to make a commitment. It's contrasted by Boaz's willingness to make a commitment, even though that commitment would come at a great cost. And incidentally, though, Boaz's integrity is rewarded. Now, if you want God to bless your pursuits, be prepared to make and keep commitments. Be prepared to commit to your pursuits. Well, let's see how God's blessings is poured out on Boaz for his integrity and commitment. Verses 11 and 12. All the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." These witnesses affirm the transaction. They pronounce a blessing on Boaz, Ruth, and their family. That Ruth would be fruitful and be as blessed as Rachel and Leah, when you think of they're the mothers of the 12 tribes. That Boaz would be well known, highly regarded, and successful. That their descendants would be as significant as Perez. Perez was Boaz's ancestor, also a descendant from the Levite marriage, or the Levirate marriage, I should say, not a Levite marriage, but a Levirate marriage. And most significant, he's from the clan of Judah's family. When we face our responsibilities with integrity and commit, we can expect God's blessings. Now, a question, just as we kind of close here this morning, is there an area of your life that needs a big dose of integrity this morning? Is the Lord convicting you to do the right thing, even though it may appear risky to you? Maybe this morning it's time for you to trust Jesus and allow Him to be Lord of your life. You know, throughout the book of Ruth, and I'll say many portions of Scripture, but let's say we've been focused on Ruth, as we see this really the scarlet thread of the gospel just woven through each chapter of that book. You know, from the pain to the promise to the greater Son of David, that is Jesus Christ. That faith in Christ and dependence on Him alone provide all that anyone really needs for life and for salvation. And so may your integrity be the response to your trust in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. I thank you for this book. All that's packed in there, it's just really just a wonderful story. A love story that we've read between a man and a woman, but really this love story between our relationship and you, that you love us that much. You so love us, Lord. And we don't deserve it. Father, I pray for anyone this morning, Lord, that is having a difficult time trusting you. They're wanting to maybe go and try to do things on their own in their own way, and yet still seeking somehow your blessing through it. Father, I pray that you help them with this area of integrity. And Father, through that integrity, that it can be shown, even publicly shown, that people see it. And Father, in this we give you all praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.